This is The Bible Show.
Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's words to transform our life, so we want to be in the scriptures. So Sam, where are we at in the Bible today?
Today we are going to be taking a look at Psalm 23, which is very famous, the most famous psalm. It begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the reason why we're doing that is we're in Advent, and we're going to be looking at shepherds this week. And so what a perfect psalm to take a look at. One of the things I want to do right at the beginning is recommend a book that a lot of people talk about, but it's actually kind of fascinating. It's by Philip Keller. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he knows what it's like to be a shepherd, and so in a kind of primitive setting. And so he's taking what that means, what that looks like, and kind of unpacking Psalm 23 in light of what it actually means to be a shepherd. And it pulls out some meaning behind the psalm that's really, really beautiful.
And it's not very long.
It's not long.
So we're not pitching anything that's not attainable.
Yeah. So we're going to look through this. This is going to be a little bit different than normal in that we're going to go verse by verse through this. So Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, this is David writing. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so that is a big statement to unpack right out of the beginning, because what does a shepherd do?
Watches over sheep.
Watches over sheep, but there's like, he's guiding them. He knows best. Like, the sheep don't know what they need. They don't know where they're going. And, you know, if he's leading them in kind of the semi-nomadic style that would have been then, like, they have no idea why he's doing different things, but they should be able to trust him, right?
Yeah, and they do.
Right, because if you are a good shepherd, your sheep have learned, like, okay, he's doing what's right. We can follow him. We can trust that he knows what he's doing. And that next line that says, "I shall not want," is not like, I never have a desire. I'm not making a Christmas list. That's not what it means. It's, he won't leave me without what I need. Like, I'm not going to be in want. He's not going to leave me short. He's going to take care of me. He's going to supply all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not going to leave me in need. I can be content with his leadership.
And there's no want anything more from him, because he satisfies.
That's
like
right.
He's complete. Like, I'm not like, oh, he got 99%, but I'm wanting one more from this shepherd as he shepherds me.
Yeah, that's right. And all the deepest longings of the soul from the metaphysical kind of perspective, like, the Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of every single one of my needs. I'm satisfied with him. I will follow him, and I know I can trust him. And then verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And just even hearing that, like, if you could slow down and be like, somebody is making you lie down in green pastures, that almost makes me want to read it like this. You know how the devotionals, they whisper, like, he leads me beside still waters. Like, I want to go there. Like, that sounds amazingly peaceful, like a place of fertility and green pastures. This is healthy land, and beside the still waters, like, oh my goodness, like, this sounds like vacation spot. But one of the things that book brings out is when it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You're like, how do you hear that?
As a kindness. Like, hey, you're too busy to do this. You won't do this for yourself, so I'm going to make you do this.
Yeah, I'm going to make you rest, right? That's what it sounds like. And when you understand sheep, like in that book, it talks about this. I never knew this. But sheep are incredibly sensitive to their environment. They're almost impossible to get to relax. They will not lie down to rest or sleep unless they feel completely secure, free from predators. There are no parasites or hunger, and no tension can be in the animosity can be in the flock. Like, if you try to take, you know how sometimes if you're trying to make your dog sit, it's like they just resist you and you have to like force them because they don't want to sit. It's like, you know, a road or something. With sheep, they won't do it unless they feel utterly at peace. And so if he's the shepherd, how can he make you lie down? I don't envision the Lord coming like, like
wrestling us to the ground.
What does it mean? He has given us scenarios with him to where it's like we feel enough peace to let our guard down and rest. Like, he's in control of this. He's got us. I feel totally safe. Everything's taken care of. Okay, he can make me lie down in green pastures because he's that good. And he leads me beside the still waters of peace. Verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And I love this. Like, what, again, in that book, one of the things that it talks about is that sheep are prone to be cast. And that what that means is they lay down and they like flip over and then they get stuck. Like they can't get back. It changes all their circulation and they get gases that are built up in their stomach. So one of the jobs of a shepherd is to keep an eye open for fallen sheep that need to be set upright, that can't do it on their own. And then they have to come and rub their legs and get their circulation going. I was reading this. I'm like, this sounds like a really... a pain in the neck job. Yeah,
stressful,
like,
at least.
And these stupid creatures that are constantly going upside down, and it's like, what's the application? Guess who the stupid creatures are? That are constantly throwing themselves upside down, that they need a savior that's watching out for them, that can put them back on the path of righteousness and restore them to what they're supposed to be. But again, that's the shepherd. What does he do? The good shepherd is always like, who needs it? Who's fallen? Who's upside down? Who needs restoration? Who needs me to come and rescue him? Well, that's the kind of shepherd we have. That's our Lord. He is our shepherd who does that, right? He leads us in the paths of righteousness. And so verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do you think of when you come across that verse?
I mean, just like a real picture of it. It's real vivid imagery for me. Mm-hmm. Can imagine sheep walking down and just being ultimately protected.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things he points out is that from different seasons, they have to go from the highlands to the lowlands, and so they go through mountain passes. And so what the sheep don't know is, why in the world would you take me from there, which was great? Like, they don't know that the season's about to change and staying there will mean death. So he leads you between the mountain passes, which means you're in the valley, which means you're subject to predators and all kinds of dangers and everything else. But you're on your way to the lowlands where there will be life that's going to be good for you. But in the midst of the valley, if you're a sheep, you're like, why in the world why would you do this? Why are we in this valley of the shadow of death? And yet, what is the response of this sheep writing the psalm? He says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, I look at you and I can see that you're carrying a rod. What is the rod for?
Defense.
It's defense. It's a weapon. I'm going to smash you with it. What is the staff for?
It's to guidance.
To guide, to rescue, to do all those kinds of things. And he's like, I trust that you're going to defend me. You're mighty for my sake. You lead me. You're shepherding me. I trust that you're leading me in a place where there's life. I can follow you. And I'm comforted when I see the rod and the staff, because I know you're going to take care of me. There's a great quote I just came across. Dale Ralph Davis said this: our shepherd is no emaciated weakling. The muscles of our shepherd's arm are flexed to defend his flock. He doesn't carry a club for nothing, right? And I was having this thought, like, can you imagine Jesus, the good shepherd of Psalm 23, savagely crushing or showing might over the beast and the demonic legions that are seeking to devour you? Because that's what this is inviting you to see. Your good shepherd carries a rod for you. He will defend you. He will not let evil devour you. He's a mighty warrior shepherd, right? Which is just... We don't think of him like that often enough.
No.
But he is a shepherd warrior king who has your back and your front and your side. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What do you do with that verse?
Just the graciousness of it all. Or even the question of, why am I preparing a table in the presence of my enemies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the midst of a world that doesn't make sense, where it's fallen and broken, God's going to honor you. Like when the world comes with all of its words and it doesn't show approval to you and everything feels, you know, condescending and nasty or whatever, the Lord's like, you're mine. And I'm going to honor you no matter what the world says. Like, and I'm going to exalt you when everyone else walks away from you. I'm going to anoint your head with oil, which means I'm giving you the picture of health. I'm calling you to something, whether it's king or a religious thing. Like, that's the idea of an anointing. I've set you apart. And he's like, my cup overflows. I've been given more than I know what to deal with. You want to know why I don't want? Because I can't handle my cup as it is. It's like, it's overflowing. It's just an extreme abundance. I can't keep track of all the good that God has done for me. And on this side of the cross, my goodness, how much more do we have to celebrate God's goodness to us? And so he closes verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And it's like, I look at that and I think, man, okay, he's just said, hey, I go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. I go through hard things. I need a shepherd to defend me. There are predators. There are bad things that surround me. But he's like, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that word follow is not just like casually following. It's like a relentless hunter. It is stalking. I'm after you. It's never going to let you go. Goodness and mercy are stalking you down. God will never allow you out of his sight. If you're the wayward sheep that goes off on its own, goodness and mercy are following you. Like, they are coming after you. God's mercy is relentless. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, which, if you know David's writings, that's the one thing he wants. He says, one thing I ask and this I seek. What is it? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever and to gaze upon your beauty, right? Like, that's his heart. If he got nothing else from this whole psalm, that would be enough to satisfy the deepest longings of his heart. And all the goodness of God that's verses 1 to 5 before that are just cherries on top. This is a God who loves you, sovereign, who meets your needs, who protects you and defends you and guides you, and he knows where he's taking you. This valley's not the end. There's a beautiful land to come. Trust him and be at peace. That's where this psalm leads me. So what's your big takeaway from the psalm? That would be mine.
I think just to remind myself of this psalm, or to read it over myself, to remind myself that Jesus is my good shepherd, and this is what it's like to be led by him.
Amen.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, you are a shepherd, and we shall not want. We just praise you for all these experiences we have with you. We just thank you that you're God who loves us enough, that this is who you are to us, that we can trust you, that we can chase after you, God, that we can be with you and be content in all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like and subscribe and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Bible Show.